so.
Okay, Mr. Neeson, whenever you're ready.
I see you. I know when you're awake.
Okay, that's good. Let's try it again, maybe a little more jolly. Think Santa.
I see you when you're sleeping. I know when you're awake. I watch you when you're sleeping. Yeah. I know when you're awake. I know. I'm making a list. I'm checking it twice. I see if I know who's naughty or nice.
Okay, I think maybe that's a little too much.
Yeah, but if you don't mind the sound, I think it's right. You know, do you understand what Santa's saying here? He's making a list. Naughty, nice, he's detailed. He's single-minded. He's an eye in the sky bringing swift judgment.
Also bringing toys to children.
Not the naughty ones.
Well, I'm sure Liam Neeson didn't get that role. It's not the Santa you picture in your mind. We like to think of him as this jolly grandpa figure. He's eager to give gifts to children, but if you think about it, Liam's interpretation of Santa is actually more accurate, isn't it? More true to character. As for his song, look again at the lyrics of his song with some creepy music behind it. You've got a horror film, haven't you? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you've been awake. He knows if you're bad and good. Good, the same. It's a horror film. Imagine that kind of Santa at the mall with kids coming in. Oh, here's what do you want for Christmas. Oh, I've got a whole list here. Wait a moment. Have you been a good boy? Well, I don't know who you are. I don't know what you've been like. If you've been looking for presents, I can give them to you. But what I also have is a particular set of skills. Skills I've acquired over a long career. Skills that make me a nightmare for naughty people, just like you. If you've been a good boy, I'll give you all the presents you want. That'll be the end of it. I will not look for you. I will not pursue you. But if you lie, I will look for you. I will find you, and that's not the Santa we expect, is it? But that's the real Santa of those lyrics. Santa Claus is coming to town. To stop nightmares. I think what we need is a start of Santa awareness for you. To show his true character. We've mistaken him, haven't we, as a jolly, harmless old guy. We've got Santa all wrong. And somehow, we've done the exact same thing with God. We've got God all wrong. Let me explain. Most people think God is like Santa. We make up this image of him who's more like jolly old Santa than what he shows himself was in the Bible. I'm willing to have a guess, even if you're like most people, even if you don't follow God, you probably have a very positive image of God. For a lot of people, God is this lovely grandpa figure, right? He's a harmless guy, he's a nice guy to believe in. He's a bit like Morgan Freeman, right, in one of those films. He's lovely, he's kind. If God is real, he's just all about this fluffy love. He's a generally good bloke. He gives presents to everyone. In fact, he owes it to us to lavish good gifts on us. That's the God we have in mind. And so when we come to Christmas, when we think about the moment in history when God himself came down into our world, we think, oh, isn't it nice? Isn't it lovely? He wants to be with us. Oh, he's given us a cute little baby. Oh, and we're filled with feelings of nativity niceness. It's so cute, but let me tell you, that's not what the people at that very first Christmas thought when they heard the news that God was coming down. Because what did they think? They were terrified, actually. We read the message of the Christmas story And you see from eyewitness accounts of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus, we see they are filled with terror when they hear this news. One of Jesus' relatives, Zechariah, was minding his own business when God decided to send him a messenger to tell him about a baby that would be born, would change the whole world. And Luke chapter 1, verse 12 says this, "And Zechariah was troubled when he saw him, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah.'" The natural response to meeting God, even for God's messengers, is not elation, not joy, but fear. Same with Mary, the mother of Jesus. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary." You don't have to say that if the person in front of you are peeing their pants. She is terrified, and she should be. The shepherds are out minding their flock in the fields. And we read in Luke chapter 2, verse 8, "In the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were excited, amazed." No, again, they were terrified. They were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them again, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people." They have to be told, don't they? Don't be scared. This is good. What we see here, fear is the natural response of someone being confronted by God. You'll find that throughout the whole Bible, actually. The whole Old Testament, they all knew meeting God was a terrifying thing. Why is that? Well, what have we missed? What do they know that we don't know? Well, they know who they were and who was standing. And standing before God, they knew, without a shadow of doubt, they didn't stand a chance. That's what they knew. We actually expressed this a little while ago during our confession together, didn't we? This is what we said. "Merciful God, our Maker and our Judge, we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves." Most people don't think this applies to themselves. I mean, we might not be perfect, right? No one thinks they're perfect. But as long as we compare ourselves with each other, that's when the comparison game happens, right? But, oh, I might not be perfect, but I'm not as bad as them. So, actually, you've been given two of these, haven't you? Does everyone have these two? Can you hold them up for a second? Just make sure everyone's got one of these. Or two of these. One of each. I want to play a little game right now. It's called Naughty and Nice. Okay. So everyone's got naughty. Put up the red one, just to make sure everyone. Yeah. Sorry to all those who are colorblind. Not that one. The naughty. Yeah. There we go. And you've got nice. Yes. Wonderful. Okay. So we're gonna have a vote. Okay. We are gonna stand in judgment over these people. All right. There we go. Adolf Hitler. Mother Teresa. Oh, one or two naughties. Three naughties. Okay. Mr. Rogers. Someone invented Daniel Tiger. Right? Daniel Tiger's neighborhood. Some people don't know. That's fine. You research the Dalai Lama. Never met him. What do you think? What's your impression of him?
Yeah,
I'm not. This is Mark Zuckerberg. By the way, this is the live stream on Facebook. Fred Hollows. Hey, any people here know Fred Hollows? Princess Diana. That's a while back. Especially if you watch The Crown. I don't know if you changed your view of her or not. Here's another one. Cristiano Ronaldo. That's a controversial one. Prime Minister, whoever that might be, because we've changed quite a lot in the past.
Have we changed it?
Think about it. How about, last one, the person sitting next to you? Responsible for the law of God. Some other people are going to say, oh, I've heard of the Bible, but I've never read the Bible, so you can't hold me responsible for what's in there. Well, I didn't realize you're the God of the Bible, that you are a real God. Okay, here you are, but you can't hold me responsible. You can't judge me for something I didn't believe in. What is God going to do? He's going to reach around your back. He's going to unclasp that tape recorder. He's going to get off that invisible tape recorder. It'll become visible. And you'll say, oh, I didn't see that, that was there. And he'll say, no, you couldn't have that, it was invisible, that's the point. Then he'll say, I want you to know that I'm the fairest judge you could possibly imagine. I'm not going to judge you according to the Bible, because you didn't know the Bible. I'm not going to judge you according to Christ, because you never heard of Christ. I'm going to judge you by your own words. Because this tape recorder only recorded throughout your life whenever you said to someone else, you ought to, or you should. This tape recorder has only recorded your standards for the people around you. Therefore, I'm not going to judge you by anything other than the standards by which you have judged people your entire life. Nobody in the history of the world will be able to stand on Judgment Day. Because you're not going to be even able to stand before your own words, before your own standards. We are all absolutely lost. And in fact, we can just switch those naughty and nice lists around to more accurately reflect what is actually the truth. Now, I've already had some complaints about who I've put on the naughty list and who I've put on the nice list. The truth is, this is the truth. No one is good but God alone. And you know, if you're honest with yourselves, deep in your hearts, this is the truth. If you stand before God by your own standards, by your own merits, you will not stand. And that's why Zechariah, that's why Mary, that's why the shepherds fell to the ground, terrified before the Lord. They knew the truth. They knew they would not stand before a holy God. They knew they were sinners before a righteous judge. They knew there was absolutely no hope standing before a God like that. Meeting God face to face was the most terrifying thing they could have imagined. It would have been the worst day of their lives. But it wasn't. The news of Jesus' birth was told to them as good news of great joy. Because we read here, this is the message that they were told. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will condemn his people for their sins? No. Save his people from their sin. What God could have done is send a judge to condemn convict us of our failings. What he could have done is send a master to beat us back into life. But no, he sent his beloved son as a savior to offer us forgiveness for all our faults. His name was Jesus, which actually means God saves. Not God judges, God saves. The prophecy Emmanuel didn't call him a God against us. God with us. You see, in the end, God is not an eye in the sky looking down on us. He chose to be one of us, to live as one of us, to suffer as one of us, to die as one of us. From the beginning, did you realize that the plan was always for Jesus to be born, to die? Because that was how Jesus would become our Savior. That on that very first Good Friday, Jesus would pay for your sins, what you deserved. He would nail to that cross so nothing would separate you from the love of God. That's the good news of the gospel. If you haven't put your trust in Jesus, won't you do that today? He so loved you that he sent his son to die for you. My prayer is that you will put your trust in him today. If you'd like to join me, I pray now. Give thanks to God for Jesus. So please join me. Father God, we thank you so much for giving your son to be born as one of us, to live as one of us, to eventually die as one of us, to die for us. Not for his own sins, but for the sins of those here today. Thank you for your forgiveness that you offer us. Help us to honor Jesus as we wait for him to come back to bring us to you. We pray especially for those who haven't put their trust in Jesus yet. We ask that you might cause them to trust in Jesus so that they too might be forgiven and worship the Lord Christ. We pray this in Jesus' name.